This Christmas, we have basically talked or titled our Christmas season, Christmas with Valorous. And I'm going to talk a little bit about what that means today, because we're inviting people, other people that aren't a part of Valorous Church, to come and do Christmas with our family. We're going to gather as a family during all of these services, during all these events, but we're also encouraging our family to go out and invite others and show hospitality and invite them in order to display God's amazing kindness and goodness so that they can also enter into a relationship with Him and be everything that He has created them to be. You know, we are a people who choose. Everybody say choose. Because you have a choice. I have a choice. We choose to reflect or display the goodness of what God's done in our life by using the gifts, the talents, the resources that He has entrusted to us. We utilize those and we begin to reflect Him to the community. So today we're going to talk about what it means to do Christmas with Valorous. And we are a people who choose to reflect. I want you to know, if you haven't joined up or partnered with us here at Valorous Church, really, that is the dynamic of who we are. We're people who worship Jesus because we've come into a relationship with Him, and then we choose to go and reflect His goodness to the rest of the world with great bravery, using our gifts and our talents so others can know who Christ is. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, and I'm reading this particular passage from the Living Bible. The Bible says this: we Christians have no veil over our faces. In other words, we are fully exposed to what Christ has done in our life. We can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. Now there the writer says we can be. Doesn't say that we have to be. That means you have a choice to reflect brightly the glory of the Lord. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him. Now that's a unique thing, because when we're in relationship with God and the Spirit of the Lord works in us and through us, we become more and more like Him. So if you want to become more like Jesus, if you want to become more, you know what, like He is in the relationship with the Father, then the goal of that is to be who He's created you to be here on earth and be in a reflection of what He's done in your life and He is working through your life. And so today I want to talk a little bit about what it means to be this mirror or be this reflection, and the opportunity magnifies during this particular season. There were to be that reflection in our day-to-day life, in our work life, in our school life, in our family life, in our recreation life. We're to be that in our day-to-day life. It magnifies during this season. And we're going to talk about why it magnifies during this season today. Now, we have a church campus down in South Africa in Eswatini. And we are a church that basically goes there occasionally on mission trips. The last few years, we haven't been able to go due to COVID and then some security issues in that area. But we have a team of folks that are going down there after the first of the year. And we have a campus there. We've been supporting this campus for multiple years now. We started a feeding program down there many, many years ago. And then we built a facility, we put in a well, we have a campus pastor, we have leadership there, all kinds of things happening. But the outreach or the reflection of Jesus is often found in that community through the children. And so what we do every year is we throw a huge Christmas party in Eswatini, and we have thrown that Christmas party over the last couple of weeks, and I got a few photos here. I think they have on the screen here. This is what you did during the Christmas season, during the Christmas party, as being a reflection of Jesus in you and through them in that community. Come on. I wanna show you this because it matters. And there they are underneath our little canopy out there, you know, doing Christmas, opening the gifts and doing the things, eating lunch, and all the things that you provide throughout the year in order to reflect the heart of Christ in that community. I think they got one more here. And I just want to kind of explain this particular set of photos. This is actually a group of kids that have gone through our campus program, our training down there, and they have graduated from that particular program, and they're moving on to the next level in their journey. And so that was the graduation. They're in our facility. And so, man, we are honored what God's doing in and through you, not only in this community, not only in your neighborhood, but literally around the world. And so that's what it means to be a reflection or to be a mirror in the community and around the world with the goodness of Christ. No, we're not physically there, but we are helping those who are there, and they live in an impoverished area. We're helping them be this powerful reflection of Jesus. And honestly, there's no better snapshot, or may I say picture, of what it means for the church to be in relationship with God and be this reflection that he's called us to be than the passage in Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 is basically a passage that is written to a king. And the mother writes the king. And as the mother writes the king, she encourages him how to be the king that he is supposed to be and what it means to find a noble or valorous wife. And that relationship he has with that valorous wife, that wife of valor, really helps him become successful in his position as king. And this is a snapshot. This is a proverb of a wife and a king's relationship and how they spiral upward together and become who they are supposed to be. And this is a snapshot of who we are as a church. The reason we're called Valorous Church is because we're brave with the goodness of God, and we're here to support a king and the king to support us and us to be in that relationship with King Jesus. And we're working that relationship together in order to reflect the goodness of our great God in a community. The Bible says the church is the bride of Christ. And so a picture of what that's supposed to look like is found in Proverbs 31. And today I'm gonna talk about what it means to be a valorous church, a church of valor, a church of bravery in a community so that Christ is properly reflected. So what is this king, what is King Jesus actually looking for out of his bride, out of us, the people of God? Yes, he's come to our rescue. Yes, he saved us by dying on a cross and giving his life's blood because he loves us desperately. And he rose from the grave to forgive us of our sin, so that we could have an eternal connection with our great God, with our God who created us. And Jesus died for us. He came to our rescue. But has it ever occurred to you that he rescued you for a purpose? Has it ever occurred to you that he rescued you because he loves you like a husband loves a bride? And he's purifying, the Bible says, this bride, he's purifying us. He's growing us into his likeness so we can join in this relationship forever and ever. And he can provide for us forever and ever. And we can be exactly who he has designed us to be. And so this picture of a Proverbs 31 woman is actually a picture of the church, you and me, of who we're supposed to be in union with a Christ. And the first thing I wrote down about being this incredible display or this mirror for God to reflect his glory, because that's what the Bible says we're to do. We have the opportunity to reflect his glory. Is, I wrote it down this way, we must be trustworthy. Amen. We must be trustworthy. Are you trustworthy? Are we trustworthy? Are we as a community, as a family, because the Bible says we together are the bride of Christ. Can our King, can King Jesus trust us with what he's entrusted us with? Can he trust us with what he's entrusted us with? Look what Proverbs 31 verses 10 and 11 says. The mother tells the king, if you can find a truly good wife, she is worth more than precious gems. Her husband can trust her and she will richly satisfy his needs. Her husband can trust her and he will richly satisfy his needs. So what does Christ need out of the church? He needs us to be trustworthy and reflect who he is in a community so the community respects him and begins to trust him like we trust him. So are we diminishing the character of God by the way we live? Or are we living as if we trust our great God with what he's entrusted to us? And again, I'm not just talking about your attitude and your actions. I'm talking about, are you leveraging the spiritual gifts he's entrusted to you? Because this is what the scripture refers to we are to do as a community of believers. Every believer is given a gift. And every believer is to take that gift and unify that gift with the other believers. And then we become the body of Christ. We become his bride together. And this is why I'm always encouraging you to use your gift. To use your gift to the fullest of its potential. Don't hoard your gift. Don't hide your gift. Leverage your gift every opportunity you get, because that is why God has given you that spiritual gift, so you can prove to be trustworthy with what he's entrusted to you. And so we can be trustworthy in what he's entrusted to us. And what we're to do with the gift we're given, that God gives to us, as he's lavished that gift upon us, as he's generously poured it out upon us, is to use it to make him successful at what his mission is in this earth. And as he becomes successful, we become successful. Let me say that again. As he becomes successful, we become successful. It's the beauty of a relationship. This is how a marriage is supposed to look. How a marriage between a man and a woman is supposed to look. One is supposed to support the other, and the other is supposed to support the other. And together, we spiral upward and we become successful. And it's leveraging the love we have for one another in order to make the greater picture successful. Jesus came into the earth as a baby in a manger. The Bible says to save his people from their sins. And he came to earth, and Christmas time is a great time for us to begin to display that Christ is trustworthy. Jesus once told a parable when he got older, and it's found in Matthew 25. And it's a parable about a king going on a long journey and then returning. And the parable is all about whenever the king returns, like King Jesus is gonna return to earth one day. The parable is all about finding you to be faithful with what he's entrusted to you. Finding us to be faithful with what he's entrusted to us. And the parable is all about one person who took the gift that was entrusted to him and hiding it and never leveraging it because he was afraid of the king. The other two took the gifts that were entrusted to them. They leveraged those gifts, multiplied those gifts. And the Bible says in Matthew 25, what the king did was entrusted them with even more whenever he came back because they were found trustworthy in leveraging the gifts that was given to them on the journey so that the king could be magnified. And so what I'm encouraging you to do during this season and during all seasons is to consider the king coming back. To consider not only that he came the first time and died on a cross for your sin and my sin and rose from the grave so we could have eternal life, but consider his return. Because on his return, you as a believer in Christ Jesus and the forgiveness of your sin, the Bible says you will give an account. Slap your neighbor and go ahead and tell them you're going to give an account for what you did with what he entrusted to you. And so my question for all of us, are we being a valorous church? Are we being a valorous, a woman of valor, a bride of Christ that he desires for us to be? And being trustworthy means I take what he's entrusted to me and the gifts he's placed inside of me, and I do all I can to lift him up, magnify his name, and reflect the glory of what's been placed inside of me for me to shine that back out so others are drawn to him. Christmas time is a great time to be the light of Christ. Christmas time, this season, is a great time to leverage what God's placed in our hands in order to begin to display the goodness of God to others. The woman of valor honors her husband. Imagine with me for just a minute. What does a trustworthy bride look like? It's not about the event of the wedding. A bride that radiates the glory of what she's walking towards in her husband is she values him in such a way when she walks down the aisle, her beauty isn't about the dress she has on, but her beauty is found in her face and her eyes because of the respect she has for the one she's walking to. And everybody wants what she has and gives glory and honor to the experience that she has in that relationship because she so adores what she's walking to that she believes, you know what, that person is what sustains her and holds her and grows her. And then she reflects that beauty in a powerful, powerful way. So often we've made it about the event instead of about what's going on in the event. And the beauty isn't just that day. The beauty is about, you know what? What is seen in the eyes of the beholder and the one that she's going to say, I do, because she respects him and he respects her. And together they become one. And it's not about them. It's about them becoming together and spiraling upward together. It's a beautiful thing. But my friend, will God find you trustworthy during this season? Because this is a great season to be a trustworthy. The next thing I wrote down, if we're gonna be a valorous church, be who God's created us to be during this season, we have to be diligent and go the distance. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs 31. It says it this way. It says, she goes to inspect a field in verse 17. I think I forgot to put the 7 in there. But she goes to inspect a field and she buys it. And with her earnings, she plants a vineyard. So she inspects a field. She's very diligent. She's very wise. She buys it. And with her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She is energetic. Slap your neighbor and say, are you energetic? And strong. She's a hard worker, okay? She makes sure her dealings are profitable. Her lamp burns late into the night. So she's diligent and she goes the distance in order to see the expansion of what she's investing into. In other words, she's thinking expansion. She's not just thinking here and now. She's thinking about what can be and not what just is. And she's willing to go the distance. She's a hard worker. She's energetic. She's always thinking. She's always investing. She's always profitable. She's always using wisdom. She's always growing. And growing what's around her. See, if we're going to be a valorous church, we can't stop. We can't quit. We can't pull over to the side. We have to leverage. We have to leverage the opportunity that we have. Do you know that this season and this opportunity and this generation is fading away? In other words, one day it ain't gonna be. And the question is, what are we leveraging in this generation, in this moment, in this week, in this lifetime, in order to help what is eternal, the eternal kingdom, grow into all it should be? And so are we thinking eternal? Are we just thinking here? And are we just thinking now? Oh, you know, I'll just be a person of slumber. I'll get to it next week. I'll get to it next year. See, that's not a person of valor. A person of valor is brave with the goodness of God in this season. In the season when the world is coming against you. In the season when it seems like everything is falling apart. It's stepping up and being brave with the goodness of God. Nobody, not me, not you, not your family members, are promised tomorrow. And the question is, will you be diligent today? And will you go the distance and keep being faithful until the end for God to do through you what he says he's going to do? The Bible says, he who started a good work in you will finish what he started. The challenge isn't, you know what, that he stopped working. The challenge is we stop trusting. And we pull over to the side before he is finished. I want to read to you what the Apostle Paul wrote young Timothy in the letter of 2 Timothy. That just inspires me. When I want to pull over to the side, when I want to quit, when I want to become unfaithful with what he's entrusted to me, this is a verse that continually bleeds into my heart. Paul says this, I've fought the good fight, I've finished the race, and I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me. I've remained faithful. See, the goal of Christ coming into our life and saving us isn't just so we can become faithful, but it's so we can remain faithful and grow in our relationship with this husband that's come into our life, this king that's come into our life, so we as a bride can enter into that relationship and we can trust him, he can trust us, and we grow together, we spiral upward together, but we're not just faithful for a season. We're faithful through every decade. We remain faithful and we keep spiraling up and our eyes are set on the prize, come on, that's set before us. See, a valorous church It is focused on adding to the family. The Vitalist Church is focused on the new people, but it's also focused on growing in its relationship with God. And can I tell you, you can do that with other people, but one of the greatest ways to ever grow in your relationship and your intimacy with your great God is through your personal, come on somebody, time with God. I love Bible studies. Iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens another. But where I grow in my intimacy with God is on my back porch. And I sit there with God and I focus on his word. I focus on what he's saying. I focus on who he is. It's not when I hang out with Pastor Richard. He's a good guy, okay? It's not when I hang out with Miss Paula. It's not when I hang out with everybody else. I grow in my intimacy with my creator, come on. When I choose to spend time with him and I choose to get in that relationship and understand who he says I'm to be as I enter into the body, as I enter into the family, as I enter into relationship with you, I grow in intimacy with personal relationship. I wonder how many of us are indulging on relationships on YouTube, the internet, group studies, all of these things, because those people are supporting me in who I am, when I might need to take a step out of that for a minute and step into the relationship with the one who identified me as his and his alone, come on somebody, and begin to get a download from him who he says I am. Again, we're to be together, we're to work together, we're to grow together, all of these variation things. The church is all about a family, it's all about growing together. But my friend, there has to be a time alone. Even Jesus himself did it. He went and he made time with the Father. And most of the time, when he was alone with the Father, it's when he was facing difficult moments. Father, if this cup can pass before me, I pray that it would, but not your will, my will. Help me through the difficult moment. He got his inspiration from the relationship in human form that he had with the Father. This is fascinating to me, because we live in a culture, 2022, where really people are not about being intimate with God in a one-on-one relationship and spending a lot of time with him, understanding who he is and letting him speak into their daily life. My friends, you want to see a church explode? You want to see it be all God's created to be? Be intimate with God. Spend your time with God and see what God begins to do in you, and then take what he's doing in you and bring it to the party. And when you bring it to the party, it'll begin to flow in you, it'll flow through you, and it'll inspire others to be everything they are created to be. It's in the secret places that God speaks to the heart. And again, he can speak to the heart in the bathtub, he can speak to the heart in big events, all of these things. I'm not saying that, but if you want to God to speak to you, use you, submit yourself to his authority. Be like a bride, be like a spouse. Submit yourself to his authority. And be intimate with him. And let's see what God can do. And let's remain faithful to the end. See, a lot of times we start it good, but we don't finish it well. And again, God's calling us to be finishers, not just starters. I get fired up about starters, don't get me wrong. Starters are fresh. usually they inspire me to keep on keeping on. So if you're kind of losing your zeal, get around some starters. Because they'd be like, let's go, let's run the race, let's do more, let's build a campus, let's use our gifts, let's expand, let's grow, let's be more. So that's what starters do. Starters are thinking about what lies ahead. They're not just thinking about here and now, but see, a finisher keeps it in their spirit, keeps it in their soul, and they don't just start the race, they finish the race. A valorous woman goes the distance. A valorous church goes the distance, and they're always diligent. Next thing I wrote down is be confident. Be confident. See, the Bible says this in Proverbs 31, verse 23. Her husband is well known at the city gates, where he sits with the other civic leaders. Now, when you read about this passage, she's creating an environment for her husband to be successful at what he does at the city gate, and she's being successful in her environment. But what he's doing, he's serving her again as he sits at the city gate. Because in this environment, when she allowed her husband to sit at the city gate, the position of the husband or this civic leader was to sit at the city gate and more or less be a guard at what came into the city and basically kept things out that couldn't belong in the city that would bring harm to the bride or to the family. And so her husband sit there as a judge at the city gate, and he evaluated everything that was coming in and everything that was going out. Did you know that the Bible says Jesus is the gate that we enter in to step into our God's holy presence? But let me tell you, he is the gatekeeper. And what he's doing is he's allowing the people who have been redeemed by the power of his blood to enter into God's courts with thanksgiving. But what he's also doing is he is guarding the gate, and no one comes to the Father except through him. He's not allowing all of these things that are of the world and all of these things that don't belong into the kingdom to come into his eternal kingdom. Come on, somebody. So he guards. He guards what belongs to us forever. And so I'm inviting you to consider this husband. Be confident that Jesus is on the throne doing his job. He's an advocate for you and me who have come and belong to him. And the Bible says he is putting every enemy of the kingdom underneath the footstool, or they're becoming the footstool to his feet. And so have confidence in your king. Have confidence in him sitting at the city gate, because he's doing what he is designed to do, and we just create the environment for him to stay on the throne, keep doing what he's designed to do. And as he stays on the throne, we're becoming more and more basically of who he's created us to be in this world. It's a beautiful picture of how the church is to relate to Christ and how Christ relates to the church. The church is all about creating environments for Jesus to shine. Listen to what the Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 12. It says, after basically adding value to a woman's life that everybody else wanted to take away, the value, the Bible says Jesus spoke to the people once more and he said, I'm the light of the world, and if you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. This is on the heels of a lady who had been condemned, and the leaders of her day wanted to put her to death because she was caught in the act of adultery. And Jesus comes and comforts her. He speaks to her, and he basically puts his hands on her and reminds her, you know what? You don't have to stay in this spot. He says, you can become more. In other words, he shows compassion. He shows love to her when everybody else wanted to condemn her. And because of his love and compassion that he showed her in that moment of time, what he does is he turns to her and he tells her, go and sin no more. So basically what Jesus was saying is, you know what? You don't have to live outside the authority of God in your life, and you don't have to live outside of all of what God wants you to be and become. Stop living in a lifestyle of missing the mark of his glorious standard and go, lady, because I've showed you love. I've showed you compassion. Go and sin no more. And then on the heels of this particular event, Jesus turns to the people and says, I'm the light of the world. And he says, you know what? I'm shining in darkness. And you know, people don't have to walk in darkness anymore if they would just respond to my amazing love and let me speak into their life and be, you know what, the person that I'm to be in their life, the God I'm to be in their life. Go and sin no more. My friends, that doesn't mean that we're a perfect church. We don't make mistakes and we don't screw up. But what that does mean is we're walking away from things that hold us back from our God potential. We're stepping away from those things and we're believing who God has called us to be. And he's spoken to us and he's called us to be a valorous church. This is why we're doing all these events. It's why we're doing all this stuff. Events are only environments. Let me say that again. We're going to do Candyland Christmas next Saturday. It's an environment. It's an environment. It's an event, but it's an environment for us to show the love of Christ together as the family of God to maybe some people who have never met this great God. Why don't you show up to the event? Why don't you serve at the event? Let's bring the candy in for the event. It'd be amazing. And it's going to be a lot of fun. You get to see smiles on kids' faces and stuff. We make them laugh, playing games, all that kind of stuff. But understand why we're creating an environment. So they can see the love of the one who has shined in our heart first. And we're making him known to the world around us as they walk down and see all the lights and the parade and stuff, and they step into this place. That's why we do Candyland Christmas. Is this an event to show the love of Christ? Anytime we create an environment or an event, it's always so that we can help others understand who Christ is in their life. You know, we're gonna be doing Giving Hope Mall. Some of you have been sending gifts in through Amazon. We're packing the pot, all that good stuff. We're gonna be serving like 400 families or something, 400 kids or something. I don't, but that's a lot of kids, okay? Why are we doing this? Because they got less than us? Yeah, they have less than us, and I don't want to see people do without, okay? But the reason we're doing it is because Christ has first loved us, and we're loving them back through the challenges that they're facing in life, trying to show them the love of Christ. We're doing the event to create an environment for Christ to shine through. See, don't miss this. People want to know, why does church do this? Why does church do that? Because it's a way for us together to leverage our gifts, leverage our talents together, and be a family and be a light in the community in a powerful, powerful way. We're always going to teach the word of God. We're always going to lift up the name of Jesus. We're always going to praise his great name. We're always going to be thankful towards the cross, the death, the resurrection. But we are going to reflect and be who he's called us to be in the community. And so this is the challenge from the Savior, from your Savior, my Savior. And the question is, are you going to be brave with the goodness of God? Bravery with the goodness of God doesn't mean stand on the street corner and holler, turn or burn. Braveness with the goodness of God is leveraging the gifts that he's placed inside of you and putting it together with the other gifts. And let's see what God can do through us. Let me pray for you today. God, you're an amazing God. I thank you for every person underneath the sound of my voice, from the back corners of the room to the front, to the stage. God, I pray we would be valorous this Christmas. We'd be courageous with your love, with your goodness, with your mercy. And God, we would step into it during this season. We'd be the light of the world, and we would make Jesus, the light of the world, shine in the hearts of people. God, I pray we would be submitted to you, your authority. God, we would be givers. We would be sharers. God, we would be people who magnify your name through what we do together. God, you have blessed us enormously. And I pray, God, by the power of you, the one who blessed us and came into our life, God, we could be the church. We could be your people. We could step into the fullness of who you are. And God, we would be found faithful when you return, Jesus. God, if there's one that hasn't even started this relationship this very day, God, I pray they would recognize you freely gave your life on a cross for anyone to respond to your amazing love you displayed through that cross and the incredible power you displayed as you come back from the grave that you have over sin. And God, if there's one here today that hasn't believed or placed their faith in that message, I pray today would be the day they start the journey. And God, they wouldn't just start the journey just to fly out of here and go to heaven one day. They would start the journey to be who you've created them to be. And God, they would begin to understand how you have gifted them, how you want to work through them. They would understand that nothing is perfect in this earth. But God, together, we can begin to shine your light and remind others of who you are. God, help the church step up and be the church. And God, may your name be glorified in all that we do. We pray it in Jesus' most holy and precious name. Amen.